Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
What the Lord has done for me. And then I like that part when they say, you can't tell it. Let me tell it. What the Lord has done for me. Amen, amen, hallelujah. We're going to try something a little different. Okay, I'm going to try something a little different. Because we're talking about the Word of God, right? Don't look at me like that, Amanda. Man. You got me nervous looking like that. You know what I mean? Don't look like that. I'm going to try something a little different. Well, because we're talking about the Word of God, right? The Word of God, right? So I want you to be, you know, that's how Minister Marcus just said, the hallelujah. Normally we do that call and response. When somebody says hallelujah, we respond back by saying hallelujah, giving God praise back. I'm going to try something a little different. I want you to just really set your mind on Jesus. See, sometimes we gotta actually tell you to do this because of all the different distractions and different things that we come with. Put your mind on Jesus. You may say, how do I put my mind on Jesus? I'm going to tell you, what was simplistic for me, I thought on the name of Jesus. I would see the name Jesus in my mind. I don't know what he looks like. What I do know is he doesn't look like that picture. So the easiest thing for me to do was to fix my mind on the name of Jesus. It's going to make sense. So maybe that will help somebody, you know, who may be struggling with, well, how do I fix my eyes or fix my mind on Jesus? I thought about the name, because what I found that you can't separate him from his name. His name is who he is. Amen. So as you fix your mind on Jesus, him being the Word, you love Jesus, right? Okay, Prophetess Portia loves Jesus. Prophetess Portia, you love Jesus, right? Amen. I love Jesus too, Prophetess Portia. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to ask y'all again. You love Jesus, right? Okay, amen. So the fact that you love Jesus, Jesus is the Word, right? So as the Word is coming forth, because you love Jesus, who is the Word, you ought to respond like you love Jesus then. You understand? No, you got to put a little bit more energy in that. When we talk about Jesus the Christ, now you got to put a little bit more energy and a little bit more effort in that thing now. Or else you showing me you got a weak love for Jesus. Come on, you should try to love him how he loves you. Come on, that should be your goal today. You should try to love him how he loves you. Remember, he gave himself for you. You ought to, come on, today you ought to give yourself for him. Everything I got, God, it belongs to you. I'm going to give you everything, God. You can have my mind. You can have my heart. You can have my eyes. You can have my ears. You sure can have my mouth, God. And you can have my prayer. You ought to love him like he loved you. Come on, so let that be your focus today. You loving on him how he loves you. Amen? So we're going to be excited all throughout the Word. Amen? Whether you think the Word is a rebuke or not, we're going to be excited about the Word. Amen? Because thank God that he loves me enough to speak to me. Amen. So come on, grab your Bibles, and we're going to go to the book of Philippians chapter number 2. Starting at verse number 5. When you have it, say amen. Philippians chapter number 2. Starting at verse number 5. When you have it, say amen. And I'm going to have some help on this morning. My beautiful, lovely wife is going to come help me. My brown sugar, amen. All right. So we're fulfilling prophecy right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Little do y'all know, we're walking out a prophetic word right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. When you're there, say amen. Amen. And the word of our holy Lord reads, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You could be seated in the presence of our living God. Amen. And what we're going to be working with on today, we're talking about, we're still in our current sermon series where we've been talking about the anatomy of bondage. Amen. We're still talking about the anatomy of bondage. And as we've been talking about this anatomy of bondage, we understand our foundational scripture has been in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 15, where it's talking about, you know, we have not received that spirit of bondage again, right, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, right? And so we looked at anatomy as being the structural makeup, especially of an organism, any of the parts, right? And definition number two for anatomy that we've been using is separating and dividing into parts for detailed examination. So we've been in detail examining what the anatomy of bondage itself looked like. So we've been actually in detail examining bondage. Amen. So understanding what bondage looked like. And last week we talked about how it is easy. One of the easiest way for an individual to be bound is by the opinion of man. Right. So we talked about opinions last week. And so we're going to follow that up this today, talking about reputations. Oh, yes. Because everybody has one, whether you know it or not, everybody has one. Whether your reputation is you're lazy, whether your reputation is you're angry, whether your reputation is, okay, you're selfish, whatever the case may be, we all have a reputation, right? And so we see even in Scripture, the Bible talks about how Jesus Christ, he laid down his reputation. Also, we're trying to get you to lay down your reputation, because if you're not careful, the devil will use reputations as a means or a doorway to have you become bound. Amen? So we understand, we're here in the book of Philippians. You know, it's an epistle that Paul was actually writing while Paul is actually locked. And one thing I appreciate about Paul, even though he was locked, that he was still more concerned about the gospel getting out. He wasn't so much concerned about his own welfare as he was locked up, but he was more concerned about making sure that the gospel got out. While he was yet locked down, while he was bound in chains, he was more concerned about making sure the gospel got out. Don't give me water, don't give me food, but give me a pad and pen so that I can write and make sure that the gospel gets out. It's more important. Don't worry about me, I'm gonna be okay, because what he understood, there was a God that is mindful of me. Even though I'm bound up, even though I'm locked up in chains, there is still a God that is mindful of me. See, you worried about, am I comfortable? You worried about how they treat me while I'm locked up? You worried about, do I got enough food, enough water? But I'm worried about making sure this gospel gets out. There is still a people that needs to hear what thus saith the Lord. And so I gotta make sure I'm in a position, in a place to speak what thus saith the Lord. And what I appreciate about Paul, he didn't let his circumstances back him up from speaking what thus saith the Lord. Although he was uncomfortable, guess what? He still made it so that he could talk to God. God can speak to him. He can give what God said. Amen. So yeah, I appreciate about that. And as he's writing to the church at Philippi, he's writing to say, thank them. While I was locked up and bound up, you were the people that sent gifts to me. See, God had me on somebody's mind. See, when I put God on my mind, God will put me on somebody else's mind. You understand? He was saying, I was thinking about God, and guess what? God put me on y'all mind, and y'all began to sow into me while I was locked up in prison. See, God got somebody that will be mindful of you when you be mindful of God. Amen? So he was writing this letter to the church at Philippi for nothing more just to say thank you for you sowing your gift into me while I was locked up. Amen? And church really don't believe in sowing anymore. Folk don't believe in sowing like that no more, because nowadays society teaches you selfishness. Society teaches you better make sure you are good. And trust me, making sure you good is doing unto others, giving unto others. That's how you're going to make sure you good. They don't teach that in church no more. Thank God we're a ministry that still believes in sowing. We're a ministry that believes in giving. We're a ministry that believes in blessing other people. Giving of yourself, amen. And so we find ourselves, we're in the book of Philippians in chapter number 2, right? And as you walk through this particular book, when the book opens up, Paul is giving his greetings to the people in Philippi, this church. And Philippi was considered to be the purest church because of their consideration, not just for Paul and the gospel, but for other believers. And not only that, when you move throughout the chapters of the book, as he moves from his greetings, he begins to move into thanksgiving and prayers for the Philippians. He said, you know what, I'm thankful for you. I'm giving God thanks for you, but not only that, I'm praying for you. He locked up. Now, remember when Peter was locked up, everybody was praying for Peter. Praying that the Lord would send Peter home. And it worked. Paul said, no, I'm going to pray for you. Y'all know come on, let's be real. If we locked up, the first thing, pray for me, y'all. Y'all pray to God. Come on, pray that God open the door. Pray that God move now. Remember, y'all supposed to be getting excited about the word. Remember that, right? All throughout the service, you're supposed to be loving on him, how he loves you, right? So think about it. Paul locked up. He doesn't have the same mindset that Peter has. He said, no, I'm going to pray for y'all while I'm locked up. Truth be told, I'm so busy. Y'all keep having me going from city to city preaching. I really don't have time to pray. It's probably a good thing that I'm locked up. Now I'm stationary. I got time to pray for you. You know, guess what? There are some days, some of us, we fall sick, right? And it's when we're sick, laying on our back, that's when God gets an opportunity to speak to us. Because we were so busy, you understand? And because we were so busy, we never took the time to hear God, to see what God was actually trying to say. So sometimes God will allow things like that to happen because I'm trying to speak to you. So even in Paul being locked there, it might have been a good thing so that he could actually pray. Say, God, I want to tell you, thank you for them people, God. Thank you for those people, God. And I'm praying for them, God. Not only am I going to say thank you for those people, God, but I'm going to say, God, open doors for those people. I'm going to say, God, bless those people, God. I'm going to say, speak into the lives of those people, God. I'm going to say, give them instruction, God. I'm going to say, God, give them direction, God. I'm going to pray that you lead them by your Holy Spirit, God. See, this is what the apostle is doing while he's locked up. And then he moves on and he begins to tell them. As he's writing, he writes about his own personal struggles. And see, you don't find many leaders willing to talk about their own personal issues anymore in church. And you wonder why leaders are falling. Because don't nobody want to talk about what they're dealing with. Paul began to talk about his own personal issues. He made it public. One thing I appreciate about Paul, he was not afraid to talk about what he himself was actually going through. And so after he began to talk about his own personal struggles and different things of that nature, he begins to exhortate. He begins to encourage them again, right? And in him encouraging, he talks about living a life worthy of the gospel. Living a life worthy of this good news that we now have about Jesus Christ, right? And then the last thing, he then talks about following the servant attitude of Jesus Christ. Which where we find ourselves in Scripture, Paul is actually talking about following the servant attitude of Jesus Christ. Amen? So again, we're talking about reputations. Reputation is defined as what? The belief or opinions that are generally held about someone or something. Now, whether you disclose your opinion, we all have opinion. Because we talked about them last week. Everybody has opinion. They're like feet. Only some of them stink. Right? So we understand everybody has an opinion. What am I saying? Everybody in this room has an opinion about me. Now, whether you mention them to me, reputation is defined as the belief or opinions that are generally held about someone or something. So we see housed in the definition of reputation is the word opinions. And like we talked about last week, everybody has opinions, like feet. Everybody has feet in this room. And some of them are stink, though. Like some feet stink, some opinions stink. And like we say, you have an opinion of me. Now, whether you reveal it or not, you have an opinion. Just like I have an opinion of you. Oh, yes. We all have opinions. Now, when you think about it, these opinions and beliefs then form what? Reputations. And then there are some of us where we find ourselves, either we're considered to have a good reputation or a bad reputation. And then there are some of us who are trying to outlive an old reputation. In other words, that old man after you came to Jesus and God said, you're now trying to outlive that old nature or that old reputation. Now, I don't know who you are unless God shows it to me. But you know exactly who you were, who you used to be, what you used to be like, what you used to take part in. You understand who you are. Oh, yeah. You understand the reputation that is lingering over your head. Oh, yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And some of us are still fighting to outlive this reputation. There were some of us, you know, because we were nice and kind and cordial, it appeared to be to everybody that we had a good reputation, but they didn't know the type of life that you lived in secret, how foul you were in the secret. They didn't know how evil and wicked you can be when somebody turned their back and left your presence, how you be cussing them out in your mind and shooting birds all behind their backs. And you understand what I'm saying? Oh, if I was a fighter, I'll smack that and all these different things. You understand what I'm saying? So you gave the illusion that you had a good reputation. And then there were some of us, listen, I'm just going to be me. I'm not trying to be nobody else. What you see is what you get. It is what it is. It's just who I am. You understand what I'm saying? That's just some of us. It's just who I am. You say I'm angry. I'm angry. That's just who I am. I'm not angry all the time. But for the most part, I'm angry. And that's just who I am. And see, some of us are trying to outlive this old reputation, this old man. Right? So Paul, he talks about letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Before we dig that, can you give me the first scripture? First, go to verse 1 through number 4. And we want to actually unfold and let you see. Verse 1 talks about, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy. Go to 2, he said, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So that like-mindedness and being of one accord and having one mind with the Father and with the Spirit. Right? Go to 3, he says what? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I'm not going to fight with the Father. I'm not going to fight with the Spirit. And it's not going to be about me getting the glory. Everything that I'm doing is going back to the glory of my Father. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will do everything to bring the glory and honor to me, the Son. He said, but in lowliness of mind, meaning I'm willing to die to my stuff. I'm willing to humble myself. I'm willing to lay down my reputation. I'm willing to put aside my God nature and put on this fleshly nature of a human, this weak flesh of a human. He said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem one better than themselves. Showing us that the mindset of Christ is what? One where he was self-sacrificing. Not only that, but it was a mindset of humility, but it was also a mindset of loving others. Placing others before himself. So anytime we're talking about let this mind be, go to 4. So let's just make sure. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, placing others before himself, ahead of himself. This is the mindset of Christ. And we come into verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Just go to verse number 6, and we're going to look at something. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is still giving you an indication of what the mind of Jesus Christ is. Go to verse number 7, but we're going to come back. But made himself of no reputation and took it upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. See, servant, this is the mindset of Jesus Christ. So you can go back to verse 5. Most of us find ourselves, we quote this scripture and let this mind, I'm talking about we lay hands on our head and let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. What mind are you really asking to be in you? We understand it was a mindset, one of obedience, one of humility, one of strength, one of courage, one of selflessness. You have to allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that is the thing, are you willing to allow that mind to be in you? Are you willing to lay down your reputation? Because whether we want to admit to it or not, we're trying to look a certain way in front of people. We're trying to look a certain way in front of people. You want to look like you got it all together. I want to look like I know what I'm doing up here. Oh, yes, I want to look like I know what I'm doing up here. I want to look like I studied. I want to sound like I studied. I want to sound like I talked to God about what I'm saying to you. I don't want to get up here and look crazy. And the reality, that's the thing. None of us want to look crazy. Now, you may have your outfit together. Your hair may be right. Your outfit may be tight. But how crazy do you look when you cannot obey? How crazy? crazy do you look when you cannot submit? How crazy do you look when you cannot love? See, none of us think we look crazy in this particular manner, but you look so crazy. I'm going to raise my hand. When you're talking, but your language is not the language of heaven or the language of God and the nature and the characteristics of God. In other words, when you're speaking and your communication is considered to be evil communication and not communication of love, understand, you look crazy. And you don't have to be cussing, because you are, you know what folk look like when they cussing. You be saying to yourself like, oh my God, I used to be like that. Notice how some folks just be acting a slam fool, and you looking like, Lord, I am. Lord, have mercy. I used to act just like that. That's if you're willing to be honest. Because, see, there's some things that we see, and it used to be you, but you're not going to link yourself to that anymore. Oh, you better than that now. Mm-mm. But if the truth be told, oh, that was you, you know exactly what they're going through. Oh, like we say, some of them wall Martians over there on the North Tryon Walmart be walking through the mall looking all kind of crazy. For some of us, that was us. Some of us, that was us. You just get up just looking crazy. I say, thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance, right? Give me verse number 6. See, I got to split my time, my wife, so come on. Verse number 6, Mike. Verse number 6, Mike. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, right? So understand, him being in the form of God, form in the Greek is talking about who took the shape of God. He took the shape of God. And basically, simply put, he's saying, okay, he understood that he was God. Equal in the triune, or equal it within the Trinity. He didn't consider this robbery being equal with God. Well, you understand that? I can't hold a big cup. I appreciate it, though. I can't hold a big cup with my hand. Right? He never thought it was robbery to be equal with God. The issues of the religious folk, he understood that he was the Messiah. He understood that he was the sent one, the only begotten of God. And the thing that the religious folk had, they had an issue that he was claiming to be the Son of God. They had an issue with his reputation. How dare you talk about you the Son of God? That's why they kept looking for certain signs. Well, if you be proven by doing such and such, tell us such and such. Because they had an issue with him considering himself to be equal with God. But Christ, the scriptures say, he had no problem being in the form, being in the shape of a God, being equal with God. He didn't think it was robbery. Because all throughout the scriptures say, I am one with the Father. When you see me, you have saw or you have seen the Father. When you hear me, you have heard the Father. So he never thought it was robbery to be equal with God. Amen? So we're talking about that form. He took the shape. And this is spiritually. We understand who he was in the realm of the Spirit. He took the shape of being God in the realm of the Spirit. Right? Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. But made himself, made and no reputation are the same words in the Greek where it's talking about he emptied out himself. So before I got to the earth, I'm going to empty out myself of all my God nature. My reputation that's in glory, I'm not even going to bring in the earth realm. Oh, y'all don't even understand. I'm willing to lay down my holy reputation to come put on this weak mortal flesh. I'm willing to lay aside all of my sovereignty, all of my power, and all of my might to come put on this mortal flesh. Mortal flesh, I should say. Weak mortal flesh.
So he emptied himself out. He purged himself. So if you don't think Jesus don't know anything about deliverance, he purged himself of his God presence. He understands what it is to be delivered. Come on, Father, get all of this God presence out of me. I said, in the name, come out. Y'all don't even understand. He purged himself of his God nature. And it says, and took upon him the form of a servant. Let me put off divinity. Let me purge myself of divinity and now go on put on this weak flesh and become a servant. If I want to be known by anything, call me a servant. Y'all supposed to be loving on him how he loves on you now. You're supposed to be responding all through the word. Come on. He put down his reputation. Reputation, again, the beliefs and opinions that are generally held about someone or something. So all these opinions and beliefs that people held about him being the Son of the Most High God, he put them down, not just here in the earth realm, but he put down what the angels knew to be true, the 24 elders knew to be true. The seraphims and the cherubims, what they knew about him to be true, what Satan knew about him to be true, he laid it all down. I'm gonna put my reputation down and I'm about to put on this flesh and become servant. Notice in scripture. That's why, remember when he kept having the conversation? Who do men say that I am? See, if I would have came down here with my reputation on, there would be no denying who I am. Okay, now let's make it intimate. Who do you say that I am? Come on, Peter. Thou art the Christ. You are the Messiah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You understand my reputation. God has gave you a glimpse into the spirit world to see exactly who I am, to understand exactly who I am. Now, make no mistake about it, though Peter saw this, it doesn't mean that Peter did not see him as a servant, though. For these 3 years that they were with Jesus, they saw Jesus as a servant. Three, a number, a perfect number, perfect completion. They saw him perfectly complete his task as a servant. Right? So, give me verse 8. It says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He did what? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. See, it's easy to humble yourself when you take off your old reputation. When I come into the earth realm, he said, I'm not worried about what they think about me. Matter of fact, God, you know what? When you design my body, give me an ugly face. Now, you know, it had that been me. Now, hey, chisel that a little bit more. Chisel that a little bit more, God. I want that kind of hair you could do like this. That I want that kind of hair you could do like that. Well, you know, when it gets in your face, you don't have to, you could just blow it out your, I want that, just. Y'all don't understand. Had it been me? Oh, back in them days, I'd have been like, God, I need a 12-pack. I would have walked around every day with my robe on my shoulder, like. What? I would have walked around. Peter, hold this for me. You supposed to be my armor bearer. Hold the robe, Peter. You know? I'm just saying. Listen, he had an opportunity. We don't think about this stuff. Make me something common. Not just, I don't want just common features, but give me a common name. Jesus was a common name. I'm trying to fit in this thing so good. Because he could have came down with one of those holy names that are his. Right? He could have came down with one of those holy names. Now give me what's common to them. Jesus, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. And watch what I do with Jesus. I'm going to leave my God nature, my holy reputation in heaven. I'm going to put on a common face, common skin. I'm going to take a common name, come from a common place, the ghetto. Because that's for most of us, that's y'all don't even want. No good thing comes out of this place. So give me a common face. Give me a common name. Give me some common parents. And bring me up out of a common place. And watch what I do. When I lay my holy reputation down. You want to know why my name is so great, even though it's a common name? Because I humbled myself. We can't find nobody that wants to humble themselves. Because you still got a reputation to uphold. See, I remember that was me. As a believer, I was still like, certain things I can't do because I got a rep to keep. What rep you trying to keep? Now, you understand why the question was asked? What reputation are you trying to keep alive? That's the thing. Some of us, we have reputations that are trying to remain alive. Certain reputations that are kicking you in the back of your head. Oh, yes. It's kicking you in the back of your head. And instead of you grabbing that thing and bringing that thing subject, no, you letting that thing kick you in the back of your head. Ruling you. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. See, he could obey because he first humbled himself. And it says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, no, I'm not going to mess with that. I'm not going to mess with that because then y'all may think that I'm teaching a whole nother God. So I'm going to leave that alone. He became obedient unto death, understood what he was sent in the earth realm to do. And he did it. It doesn't mean, now we see through scripture he had issues. He prayed 3 times. Hold on, Father. Wait a minute, Father. Wait a minute, Father. Wait a minute. 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 But the more and more he thought on it. See, y'all know the scriptures. Y'all should be getting excited right there. The more and more he thought on it. See, I will be doing the less thing. I will be doing the less thing if I chose another way. I will be doing the less thing if I called the legion of angels to come rescue me off the cross. But I'm never doing the less. I'm going to always do the greater thing that's going to bring him the glory. And if bringing him the glory is going to come by me down on this cross, then guess what? I'm going to think about you while I'm up here. I'm going to think about you while I'm up here. Guess what? It hurts, but I'm going to think about you while I'm up here. Because guess what? I made a choice in all of this pain to stay right here. Because guess what? I laid down my reputation a long time ago. Remember, one of the thieves said, well, if you are who they say, why don't you just call some angels? If you are who they're saying you are. In other words, if your reputation is true. What he did not understand is I died. It's true, but I died to it. You don't understand. It's true, but I died to it. It's true to the point that I don't have to prove it to you. Because guess what? What I'm trying to prove is my obedience, my love for the Father. I'm trying to show you that it's not about me, but it's about him being glorified. Even unto death. Give me verse number 9. He says what? Wherefore also Wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, when we talk about name in the Hebrew, we understand name symbolizes what? Name talks about reputation. It talks about fame, and it talks about glory. Practical example. If you have an issue with your car, you're not going to take your car to the dentist. Because the name determines what individual can do, what they're skilled at. So if my car has issues, I'm not going to take it to my dentist because my dentist is skilled at fixing teeth. But I'm going to take them to a mechanic who is skilled, who's certified in fixing my car. So mechanic denotes name, which denotes reputation. And see, we don't talk about the name as much. I'm going to drop this right here, and I'm going to get out your way in a little bit. Think about this. This is, we're talking about the name. The name houses his reputation. The name houses his skill set, meaning what he is capable of doing, what he's able to do. Y'all, since about 2001, see, many folks don't even understand. I don't talk about it. Since about 2001, I've been going back and forth to the urologist, a kidney specialist. But as of last Thursday, oh, he's a healer. He is still Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. Oh, you got to understand, there is reputation in that name. There is a skill set that is housed in that name. If you just stand on that name, if you just trust and believe in that name, oh, you got to go to the right name, call upon the right name, and allow the skill set, the right skill set, to be unleashed in your life. What am I saying? 10 plus years. About 17 years. When you really add it up, since about 1992, me going into high school, this all happened. So calculate everything, 27 years. Oh, 27 years I've been dealing with this issue about my kidneys. Because see, somebody want to know, can God do it? Will God still do it? Oh, yes, he can. It may take a little bit of time, but if you just stand and trust God, I kept saying, God, you said that you would heal me. For those that don't know the testimony, remember I had one kidney that was right here. It was out of place. The other kidney had not formed properly, and it was turned upside down. Could not even play high school basketball. I had all kind of urine, blood in my urine, ultimate that I could see natural, my natural eye. That's how red it was. They were sending me to nephrologists and urologists. I was all out on the campus of the University of Florida, Gators, for specialists to see me. My mom was like, we need to get a second opinion. Took me to Orlando, got a second opinion. The doctor said, he's good. He's a healthy young man. Even though he's losing, or not losing blood, but he sees the blood in his urine, he's not losing blood, he's fine. That stopped me from having to get the surgery. He said, even if he had a half of a kidney, the half of a kidney would function as if he had two kidneys. Gave my mom a piece. Met this prophet some years ago, didn't even know the guy, and he began to tell me, he just said, the Lord said, he's going to heal you. He said, every day when you wake up, say, I'm healed. I did it for about 2 weeks. You know, I don't understand this whole healing process. I did it for about 2 weeks, and when I kept seeing the blood, I was like, this ain't working. And you start struggling. Oh, yeah. By that time, I'm now here in North Carolina. And I moved in with Apostle, and I'm like, man, I said, I'm seeing the blood in my urine again. We're going to go to the doctor. We go to the doctor. They request all my stuff from Florida. They take new x-rays. Okay. They give me this follow-up appointment. And I can remember 1 5 o'clock prayer, one regular routine 5 o'clock prayer. We're praying. See, this is why you better pray. Seek him early. I said, seek him early while he may be found. See, go ahead and help me preach it. Y'all supposed to be responding. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Called on his name. I remember taking a deep breath and saying, hallelujah. and I felt the wind go in my mouth. I felt the wind go down my throat, y'all. See, I'm not telling you something that I imagined. I felt the presence of God go inside my mouth, go down my throat. I felt them in my chest cavity, down in my stomach. The same day that I had a doctor's appointment about my kidneys, tried to downplay it like none of that happened. In there laying on the table, apostle and my brother in there. The nurse came in, she said, "These are your x-rays." I said, "Yes, ma'am, those are." She's doing the ultrasound, and she's just going all across my stomach. She's like, "That kidney that was right here, it's no longer there." We knew then. I said, "Oh." She starts moving around to my side. She said, "That kidney that was here, it's over here." Oh, I can't hold the tears now. I'm laying on the table. The tears are flowing. And by this time, she crying. She calling another nurse and she crying. And then the doctor coming, he can't explain it. He crying. You know what? We're going to give y'all a second because we can't explain it. Yeah, you going out of here. We know who it is. It's Jesus. And we begin to just worship right there on the table, giving God praise. I'm talking about right there in the doctor's office, lifting up his name, blessing his wonderful name. "God, you said that you would heal me, God." We said, "God, we give you glory, God. God, we bless your wonderful name. God, I magnify you, God. You are faithful, God. You did what you said." It's like he did it in stages for me. The kidney that was here, he moved it back. Some more years passed by. I went back again. I was like, "God, what is going on? I just don't understand." I started seeing the blood in my urine again. I got to go hit. I had to have another surgery where they run a rod up me. Partially woke. I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." So don't tell me about going through nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Ooh, because every man should have been clenching themselves right there. Stages, y'all. I'm getting out your way. After I go to the doctor this time, they give me another x-ray. God then took both of my kidneys and fused them together. I now have one large horseshoe-shaped kidney. I ain't mad at it. I said, "Do what you got to do. Because you know better anyhow. Do what you have to do." The other wasn't formed properly, y'all. I don't know when this happened. I don't know if it was from birth. I don't know. But if you got to fuse them together, God, fuse them together. That just lets me know just how special I am. I don't have everything that everybody else got. It's working properly, though. So I say, "God, oh, I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name." Then y'all know I had the kidney stone. Passed the kidney stone, so I come up to Thursday. He said, "Well, Lincoln, your kidneys look good." I said, "Well, am I free and clear of the stone?" He said, "Yeah, you're free and clear." He said, "Now, you don't have to come see me anymore unless you just want to come see me." I said, "What you say now?" "You don't have to come see me anymore unless you want to come see me." Don't tell me God still doesn't heal. See, some healings may come just like that, but then just like Abraham and Sarah, it took some time. But all he's trying to show is, baby, you got the faith to believe. Will you stand on the word of God? And will you call on the name? Because it's in the name, baby. He has the skill set that is found in the name to actually heal. So if you call him Jehovah Jireh, guess what? He has the skill set to provide. If you call him Jehovah Rapha, he has the skill set to heal. It's a matter of, do you believe that God can still heal? I stand as living proof that God is a healer. How many years I said all of this? 27 years, y'all. I had many days where I wanted to give up on my healing. It is what it is, God. If you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. The truth be told, it bothered me on the inside that I wasn't healed. And he told me, he said, "You may still see blood in your lungs." That's all right. Because guess what? I'm going to look at it differently. When I see that blood in my urine, it's the blood of him that's running and flowing through me. It's his blood that fused my kidneys together. It's his blood that drove out the kidney stone. It is his blood that's washing me. It is his blood that has redeemed me. It is his blood that has restored me. Oh, I'm going to look at it a different way. Name. He's talking about reputation. Name. He's talking about reputation, right? He said he's giving him this name, and it's above every other name. He's giving him a reputation above every other name, above every other reputation. Go to number 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Come on, you're supposed to begin to say, at the reputation of Jesus, every knee has got to bow. He is the Son of the Most High God. He is the only begotten of the Lord, our Father. He is the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of Hosts. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is the El Shaddai. He is Emet Elohim, Emet the faithful and true God. Oh, he is your deliverer and your Savior. Every knee has got to bow. That's in heaven and in earth and below the earth. Give me the last verse. You come on, make your way up here. Put your stuff up here. He said that every tongue has got to confess that Jesus. See, this is where he said every tongue has got to confess. See, we know it's easy for us to confess. It's easy for us to bless him because we know who he is. See, we're not going to have to be made or forced to do it. I do it because I want to. I want to bless his name. I want to exalt him. I want to lift him up. But for those who don't fall into this category, they're going to be made. You can try to stitch your mouth closed and he's going to unstitch your mouth. And your mouth, as much as you try to grit your teeth together not to talk, oh, the name of Jesus is going to fall out your mouth. And it is going to be followed by, he is Lord. Oh, yes. And I know you think you're strong, but guess what? With all your little strength, and you're going to try not to bow, but guess what? The power that's housed in that name is going to make you find yourself bowing down. I know you don't want to bow, but guess what? See, that's why I do it willingly. I want to bless him. I want to bow down to him. He's my Lord. But for those that don't fall in that category, you're going to try to stand up. And the power in that name and that reputation is going to forcefully make you bow down. Forcefully make you open your mouth. Do it by choice, y'all, and not by force. Lay down your reputation. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Where we're talking about reputation. Pastor Luke came from so many scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, you want to use me. You want me to do this, Lord. Amen. Okay. So we're talking about reputation. So I'm going to reference Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 through 11. And Pastor Lincoln was talking about Paul being bound and imprisoned. And he talked about the church, Philippi, that came and gave and sold to him. And he talked about all the things that really, really meant a lot to him. And me, of course. You're bound in jail. I mean, obviously, you looking for somebody to help you, send you a letter, give you a phone call. Because when you are bound and in bondage, whether it is for Christ, because the Bible says it's better to suffer in Christ for the will of God. Okay. So Paul was talking about all the people, and he mentioned certain people. I won't go into that. People that gave and people that did. And he talked about, you know, Pastor Lincoln talked about the reference of Philippi. He talked about how the church, how the meaning of the church was so significant. And he talked about the verses before. He said, "Fulfill my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind, each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man of his own things, but every man also the things of others." He began to say, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And I'm not going to do what people normally say, look at your neighbor and say. I want to pose this question to you. What is in your mind? What are the things of your mind? Just take a little moment to think about, just in the course of a day, when you wake up, what is the first thing that you think of? What are the things throughout the day that you think about? When you deal with people, when you are coming in contact with people, Pastor Lincoln had talked about how when you judge and when you look at people, how you perceive certain things because of the reputation. Now, the definition had said the reputation of someone. It didn't say of itself. The reputation was of someone else about you, okay? And it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And I posed a question and said, what is in your mind? What are the things that are in your mind? Because the Bible says your mind is a spirit. It is spirit. He says, renew the spirit of your mind. And when I begin to pose a question, what are the things of your mind? Paul began to talk about of one accord, of one mind, being like-minded, of same love, nothing done in strife or vainglory. And just think about all the things that you think about in the course of one day. All the things that you judge, all the things that you view, all the things that you think of, things that you agree with and do not agree with. You have to think about what is in my mind. Do I have a double mind? Am I sound in my mind? Am I not someone that, okay, I like this, I don't like that, it's okay, it's not okay, I'm good, I'm not good, I'm loving, I'm not loving, okay, I'm fearful, I'm not fearful, I hate, no, I don't hate, I'm prideful, no, I'm not prideful, I'm selfish, no, I'm not selfish. And you have to think about the things which are spiritually in your mind, because Paul talked about the selflessness of Christ. Being humbled in the mind, having a willing mind, an obedient mind, and think about your mind. What kind of mind did you have? What are the things that you toil on a day-to-day basis with your mind, with obeying God, with living saved, with not doing certain things that you're so used to doing? Because of your age, because of your sex, because of your economic background, because of your culture, because of the friend that you keep, because of the role that you play, the personification that you exude of yourself, of what you represent. And the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." Pastor Lincoln talked about Jesus. And he talked about who, being in the form of God, found it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. We quite often hear the reference God-man, being fully God and being fully man. We talk about the representation of Christ, of how he became in this flesh that was tempted but never sinned. We talk about the reference of Jesus that was willing to lay down his life for us so that we may have a chance at the tree of life. We talk about Jesus who was perplexed, said, "Could this cup pass from me?" But nevertheless, he endured. And think about all the things in the course of the day that we're not able to handle. Think about our inability of how to deal with conflicts, how to deal with truth, how to deal with uncomfortable issues and circumstances, how we cannot take the truth about ourselves. You have to know that you're not perfect. You have to know that there are things that you have struggled with. There are things that you have failed in. There have been things that you have missed the mark in. There have been things that you have tried over and over and over and over again. Pastor Lincoln talked about his testimony about how there were stages towards his healing. And you have to think about, what do I represent? What is the representation of your life from bondage to bound to free? Because not knowing Christ, there are definitely things that you were bound in that you did not know. Because the Bible says that I was in darkness, that he brought me into the marvelous light. There were things I was dark to, because the Bible says there are mysteries that will blind you when you're not in God. When you don't have the intention to know God or want God, there are certain things that will be a mystery to you. There are certain things that God will not reveal to you if you don't really want to know him. Because there are people that seek knowledge. Because if I don't understand it, then it must not be true. But God doesn't work like that. Christianity doesn't work like that. It's more than Proverbs. There's more than just snippets of your life that he shows you at given times and eras, but it doesn't make sense at the time, but it doesn't mean that it will not make sense. Just because I don't know everything does not mean that things are not moving and flowing beyond physics, beyond anatomy, beyond the atom, beyond the cell, beyond aerobic mitosis, and beyond all those things, anaerobic, all the, I feel like I've been elevated, but all the, don't eat sugar because cancer thrive off of sugar, you know, just alkaline water because your body has to be alkaline, the chemistry. I've met people that have smoked since they was 12. They don't have lung cancer. Smoke a pack a day. That's what I know. I know people that smoke weed that never got cancer. I know functioning alcoholics that drink every single day for 50 years, and they still here. We get so caught up in wanting to know certain things, but what are you going to do with what you know? Because in your reputation, it's what someone else thinks about you. We hear the common term, my reputation precedes me. Now, some of our reputations that have preceded have not been good reputations. I've been a hot mess. I've been an angry saint. I've been frustrated. I've been double-minded. I've been aggravated. I've been irritated. I've been depressed, been overwhelmed, been stressed, been a liar, been a cheater, murderous thoughts, been perverted, been lustful, been adulterous, wanted to give up. That reputation preceded me. But because of this man named Jesus that made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, you have to understand that. That there are things that I have been, there's things that you have been, there are things that you are that have preceded you that is able and willing to change. You just got to have Christ. You cannot do it without Christ. You cannot fully change. You cannot be fully delivered. You cannot be fully healed without Christ. It is not possible. I don't care what mathematic formulation. I don't care about what God body, what Muslim. I don't care about Confucius. I don't care about meditation. I don't care about yoga. I don't care about being a good person and loving and honoring the nature and the earth. It does not matter. Because you will revert back to what you're used to. Because you're comfortable in your flesh. You're comfortable. It is what it is. I was in it from birth. I knew my flesh before I knew Christ. Naturally, it's the reverse spiritually, but I had to get an awakening of awareness to know him. I'm moving now. We talk about reputation preceding you because God always, he goes before you. The Bible says he makes every crooked way straight and every high thing a base because he is going before you. He has already gone before you. Even from the things of last week, the things of this week, even on things today, God has already gone before you. He knows your beginning from your end. He knows everything about you. Even the word in Hebrew, reputation, means name. And some of us have named ourselves to say, I will always be like this. It's too hard to change. I've said it. It's just, I might as well just stay the same. I might as well stop trying to change because it's not working. I'm a very goal-oriented person. I set goals for myself. And sometimes I set too many. I do. And I balance with, I am good with multitasking, but it doesn't mean that it's always good to do 15 things at one time. And so, in doing that, it's always for me after the fact, I don't think, after I've accomplished all of it, I don't think I should have did that. I think it was a little too much. I made it, but I almost didn't make it. I almost died in it. You know what I'm saying? But I tend to always do that. It's hard for me not to. It's just difficult for me not to. But I learned In doing that, I developed a name for myself. I'm always the one that people call upon. I'm always the one that people ask for help. Even at my job, like, I'm always the one that I get the first admission, I get the most difficult patients, I get the most patients, I get the most change within my assignment. Like, you know, it's just, I'm always that one. Even though I handle it a certain way, people don't perceive it in my demeanor because how I handle it. Even though I say, you know, I'm a hot mess, I say it like that. People say, oh, she's saying she's a hot mess. Oh. But I'm saying, like, I'm on bare bones. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am on bare bones. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm coming to a point. Because in the name that I have developed in myself, the times that I am weak, nobody recognizes it. So in me, it develops an anger when people discount it. When they say, oh, you can handle it. When I said I was tired, I meant I was, like, down to the ground, tired. But it had developed in me a bitterness. It had developed in me an anger, because why don't people see when I say, when I help so many people all the time, no matter what I go through, no matter what I have going on, no matter what I lack, that when I finally say that I need the help, it's not recognized. So I myself have developed anger. I'm an angry individual. No, it's getting bad. Now, this is another example. I went off at work. It's too late. It's too late. Representation of Christ Jesus, 6 years on the job, cussing people, people fornicating with each other, people fighting, breaking doors, and I went off. But I didn't even recognize it till it was too late. And let me tell you, I went over the edge. I did now. But I apologize. I didn't curse. But I'm telling you, they would have wished I did. Because I blanked. But it's stress. It's stress. And I felt the same thing I feel at home. Same thing at home, same thing at work. Same thing at work, same thing at home. Same thing with the kids, same thing with the job. Same thing with the husband, same thing with the church. It's like no breaks. And I broke. That's the only time I'm glad it was night. Because they should have wrote me up. They should have. They would have been validated. Because the name that I developed for myself, in doing, it wasn't the name that God had gave me. I developed because I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to ask for help or receive help. I get irritated if I ask you for something and you don't do it exactly the way that I'd ask you. Because I feel if I ask you, if you were to ask me, that no matter what I have going on, I will do it the way you asked me to do it. And when I see people, that when I ask people for certain things, and when they say, oh, I didn't find that, I just gave you that, it's a judgment. Because I judge, what will make you think that would be okay with me? You never even asked me. Before you waited for an instruction, you did it your own way. So in order, you know, to deal with that, I just do it myself. That's what we do. Because the immaturity of people, I cannot come to you and say, I don't want that. Simply because I just don't like it. Without you being upset with me about what I like and don't like. There is a judgment that you have because I have a certain taste. And that's not monetary. That's across the board. And when I say that, because we develop things in our life without allowing God, the reference and the view of Christ, to be manifested. When I have certain thoughts in my mind, what does it represent? What does it really represent? The fact that I'm always angry about something? The fact that I don't listen to people? The fact that I am struggling with my own failure, my own low self-esteem, my doubtfulness, my ability to change some things? Because in the spirit of my mind, I don't have that true assurity, that true loyalty, that true selflessness of mine that said, God, I'll do it your way. Even when I don't understand some things, because you told me to do it, it must be the right thing. Because we feel like we've gone through certain situations, we've been through certain situations, we have experienced certain losses, we have experienced hurt, heartache, and pain, that we don't have to go through that. I've already been there. Why do I have to feel that all over again? Because God, we've not allowed God to deal with us in those things that come at us in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit, because we'd rather block and say no further. Not another thing. I'm not going to take that anymore. I'm not going to go there no more. I just won't show up anymore. I'll show up when I want to show up. Not because God is telling me don't show up, because I feel like from what I've been through, I don't have to do it. But there are things in your life that you are going to have to do. There are certain hurt, heartaches, and pain that you will experience even though you don't want to. You can have a banner and say, pain don't come my way. It does not mean that pain is not going to come your way. I've learned through my little bit of years of learning that without humility, that's only the real strength. Because in our thoughts of our reputation, we fight what people think about us. We want people to think a certain way when they look at us. You might do all the right things, and people still might not look at you in that way. There might be things that you have done, things that you have sacrificed, you know, experiences that you have gone through, and because no one had ever acknowledged it, doesn't mean that you've not accomplished it. But it is that own inwardness that say, I want people to realize what I have been through and that I'm no longer there. Humility says that don't matter. People might look at you and think that you are unintelligent by the way, just by the way you talk, just by the way you are dressed. People will look at you and judge you. It doesn't mean that's who you are. That's someone else's opinion of your reputation. And we talk about this because it talked about Jesus being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death and even the death of the cross. Are we really willing to die? There are some things that God will remind you about you that will make you cry for days. Because you felt that you were over some things, but you really weren't over it. You feel like because you're 20, you're 30, you're 40, you're 50, you're 60, that by this point that you should be over it, but you're not. But it talks about wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's why it's so important to know who Christ is, your chief intercessor, the lover of your soul. Because above any other name that you may know, it does not compare to him. Because when you realize and recognize that you're not perfect, that you don't have everything together, that you have failed, that you will fail, that there are things about you that are not the best, that are not the greatest, there are certain reputations that you have had that preceded you that was in a negative opinion, you're no longer there. There are some things that I'm no longer there. But because people were viewing you so hard, they were watching your life in judgment just to see if you would fall, they missed it. I changed. That's a common thing for me. People watch my life and they judge me and she's so hard and she don't nothing ever happened to her and all these words she get. Because people look at my life waiting for me to fail. But in my mind, it's not for me to prove to somebody else that I won't fail. My humility is God, it's you that keeps me. While others judge, the humility of it is God that keeps me. And I don't even know how. There are times when I wanted to stop, wanted to fail. Somehow, some way, God didn't allow it. Because people look at you and wonder what you represent on their own beliefs and opinions about you, because people are looking for things. They want to make you common. They want to keep you fleshly. They want to keep you out the likeness of Christ. They want to keep you from being delivered. They want to keep you from being healed, from being set free. Because it is, while I'm miserable, let me wallow. Because like I said, there are some things in life that you just get tired of going through. Oh, just let me just stay here. I'm just not ever going to be better in that area. I'm just not ever going to change in that area. I'm just not ever going to, you know, get over that. I keep messing up over and over and over again. But it was in the name. It was in the name of the man, the God man, wrapped in flesh, that denounced all that and said, it doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter what people say about me. It doesn't matter what they do to me, I'll take it. And think about all the things that have came to you that we were so unwilling to take. And I'm not denouncing that things were not hard or difficult or painful, but still within us was like, I'm not willing to do that. That's why we have so many people that are unloyal, not just to their spouses, to their husbands, to their children, to their job, but to Christ. Because somehow, some way, we don't want to do it. We feel like because what we have already gone through, what we have already experienced, I've already been bound, I've already been talked about, I've already gone through hurts and pains and shame, that I can tell God when that is enough. Jesus couldn't. He couldn't tell him. The closest thing to God, the image of him, and he still couldn't tell him no. The one that was tempted but never sinned. Been through everything but never sinned. And he talks about, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and the glory of God the Father. There are things in heaven, there are things in earth, and there are things under the earth. Do you know everything in heaven? No. Do you know everything in the earth? No. Do you know everything under the earth? No. It doesn't mean that it's not there. It does not mean that it's not breathing, moving, living, thriving. It doesn't mean that it's not there, but it means that at the name of Jesus, everything shall come subject. The glory, the honor, the power, and the strength of him can never be denied. Because of the reputation of one man, he was able to do all these things. And you have to think about all the things that we're trying to look like, how we're trying to develop our own perception, how we're trying to develop our own representation, what we're trying to represent for ourselves. Is it really what God wants us to do? What are we working hard for? When everything is said and done, when the rubber meets the road, when heaven and earth shall pass away, what is the true meaning of your life? What was your true purpose? What were you willing to lay down for, to operate in this flesh and serve no matter what? No matter what. Through the aches and the pains, through the double-mindedness, through the pride, through the rejection, feeling unwanted, feeling unneeded, feeling overworked, feeling like, okay, who am I? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? Am I able still to lay down that and give a representation in this flesh to serve? To serve Christ and to serve people. Ask yourself, in this week alone, what did I serve? What did I serve in this flesh? Was it a bad attitude? Was it a smart mouth? Was it complaining? Was it just fussing and yelling? Was it double-mindedness? Was it joy? Was it praise? Was it love? Was it sacrifice? Was it mercy? What was the things on this week that I served within my flesh? What kind of wife was I this week? What kind of husband was I this week? What kind of man was I this week? What kind of daughter or son was I on this week? And how did I represent myself before God? Because we have to understand that in areas of need and bondage, there will always be a desire for liberty. How do you know that you really want to be free if you've never been bound? How will you understand the value? I tell my kids all the time, you don't understand the value of what you have. I have lived my life giving you the things that I wanted as a child that my parents could not give me because they were not able to. But I have realized in wisdom, I cannot live a life giving to you because the things that I desired as a child, because you don't always deserve it. You didn't earn it. I can't revert back to my childhood neglect, my childhood abuse, and say because I didn't have nowhere to stay in, because I didn't have nobody in my life, and we didn't have no lights, and we didn't have no food, that I had to just willingly give to you. Because you don't always deserve it in the way that you behave. Your level of respect, your level of obedience as a child, you don't always deserve it. I give you clothes, but you don't have to get what you want to get because you didn't pay for it. And because I feel you didn't need it, because you didn't need it. But we feel like even in life, because there are certain things we revert back to, because when I was, I did not have. So now that I am able, this is what I do. But that doesn't mean that you should. Because what are you learning? What am I teaching you the value to have? You've never been in lack, so you don't know. You don't know the value of an education and the value of having a certain career with a certain job so that you can have a certain level of security because you've never been without. So when I asked you to clean your room, when I didn't have my own room, you don't understand why you get chastised. Because you don't understand. And that's the same thing we do, because there's certain things that we just expect God to just do for us because we're people of God. But we discount the fact that we don't have the value of what it took for Christ to give it to us. There were certain things that I did not deserve. Certain things I didn't hold in a good representation. I wasn't respectful. I wasn't honorable. I didn't hold God in the highest esteem because I didn't know who I was. I'm grateful to God for my career because I see the things that people go through. Good people. I learned a long time ago, bad things don't always happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. And in me seeing the things that people have gone through, the people that got in car accidents, minor car accidents, and didn't live, women that were 40, that had breast cancer, that died, to see people that just finished college, came into the ER with back pain, and had metastasis, cancer everywhere, and only lived a week. I saw that. I saw people come back and forth to the hospital and say, I believe God to heal me, and I saw them die. It humbles me because I know that when they say it could have been me, it could have been me. Because I've been in car accidents, and I got hit with my kids, with my husband, and I could have died. I saw myself going to that pole, and I said to myself, I'm going to hit this pole, and there is nothing I can do about it. But out of nowhere, the car stopped, and I knew that was God, and it wasn't me. It humbles me. It humbles me to see the things that God has done. When you choose to say it wasn't God, well, you know it was. You weren't there when I laid on the floor 10 hours in pain. I could not lift my head to breathe. You weren't there. When I was in so much pain, I couldn't even sit up off the floor without I couldn't pray. But God was there. You wasn't there when I went to a restaurant and I stood up and my stomach feels funny. And I went to the bathroom, and I was so sick and nauseated, I could not get off the toilet. I said to myself, I don't even know how I am going to get off the toilet outside to tell someone that I need help. Did not know. You weren't there when I was over the toilet 4 hours vomiting and I could not stop. You weren't there. You weren't there when I got sick at work and vomited and drove 45 minutes in the rain. You weren't there, but God was. You weren't there when I had to have surgery, emergency surgery on my kidneys, and had to fly and preach. You weren't there. But it was God. Did I ask for it? No. Did I expect it? No. Would I have asked for it? No. But there is a name above every name. And that name is Jesus. You weren't there when I went into the OR and I ruptured and I bled out. I had to get 4 units of blood. That woman said, check her blood, hemoglobin of 6. That nurse said, that's not true. She said, you was gray. It's not correct. Did I ask for that? No. Do I pray? Yes. But I had to go through that. I had to go through those things simply because God wanted me to. I sure would have gave volunteers.
I would have named names.
Name names.
Sure would have. You weren't able to be 6 years to finish college. You weren't able. I got married. We didn't have nowhere to stay. I had to borrow $5 every Sunday for gas. You weren't there. Did I ask for that? No. I said college, degree, husband, then child. I got husband, child, then degree. I didn't ask for that. You think I was going to marry somebody I ain't had nowhere to stay? He didn't tell me he didn't have nowhere up for us to stay. I wouldn't have married him. I wouldn't have married him. But I say that because you have to know what you're being found in. You're not always going to know what's going to lead up to it, but God is always going before you. Because he's there to keep you, to preserve you for when things go wrong. You don't totally break. That you don't kill yourself. You don't leave God. You don't blame others for your own mistakes. You seek Christ. So in closing, Pastor Lick, you don't come back up.
Hey man, come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to prepare for the worship of our giving in Jesus' name, and we're going to get out of here in Jesus' name. Amen. So remember, lay down all those other reputations and let the one reputation, the one name be lifted up, and that is the name Jesus. Amen.